That was lovely. Well, good morning to all you little cherubs today, those near and far. It's nice to see all of you, and we've got a lot to update you on today. So, again, isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? The weather's so lousy, we couldn't be in a better place, right? I think so. I want to thank Phil for covering for us last week. It was nice to have a little break. We went over to Geneva Park in Lake Coochaching, then we went down to Kingston, and then we drove through Coburg, and we went through Ajax, met Jane's sister and her husband, had a nice evening with them, and then drove home to gear back up again. So here we are. And Phil, thank you, and to Jim for looking after our study night. Thank you to each of you. Before I begin, okay, the new devotional booklets are here. Get them on your way out. And also in your mail slots are information for annual general meetings. So please pick all that up. Today will be the last day for the Samaritan's Purse boxes. We'll be praying for them. And Carl and his team are taking them over to our collection area at Faith Missionary on Monday. So if you need to speak to Carl after, give him a call and take him over to his house, okay? All right, let's go over the events for this week. You may want to get a pen and paper out because, as you know, we don't have calendars per se. So if you have a good memory, then just say, yep, John, I'm good to go. Otherwise, write it down. And I'd suggest the way things are going, you better all write it down. Right? Okay. So Monday, 2 o'clock, we have prayer here at the church, and everybody's invited. Monday night at 7 o'clock is the ASL group, and they are meeting here, and Shauna will be directing that, and I know the ladies have been having a great time. Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. for the Truth Group. The time change, everybody, 6:30, and that's here at the church. The men are having a Zoom discussion at 7 o'clock, and so, if you didn't get an update from Richard, speak to him. Before you leave, we'll be chatting about what we're going to do as the men going forward. Ladies, 10 o'clock on Wednesday here at the church under the capable leadership of, I can't remember their names, Sue and Sheila. No, teasing. And Thursday night, of course, we're back here for our study at 7 o'clock on the Book of Ephesians, and we are having a fabulous time. So if you haven't been able to join us yet, do come out. Saturday, 7:30, is also prayer time here at the church, and Jim and Grace host that. And so also, I mentioned the AGM reports. We're going to be having a quick annual general meeting on the 29th of November, right after the service. So you're going to need to take your reports and have them read so we can just pass several motions. And then don't forget, board, you meet on the 22nd next week. It'll be different for all of us, but that'll be early December. If you're interested in membership, will you please also speak to me about that? And I just want to know, is there anything else for the week that I've missed? Anything else we need to update on? Everybody copacetic? Okay. Let's go over. I think we have some birthdays and anniversaries, do we not, fellas? And by the way, sorry, this screen has gone down for some reason. And so you're all going to have to look here. So Victoria, we want to wish her a happy birthday, and Catherine has a birthday today as well, so happy birthday to Catherine. And do we have any anniversaries? That's it? Beautiful. Okay. Oh, yes, that's the hope, so keep praying for them. Em and Dominic are not going to be here next Sunday, so I want to wish both of them a happy birthday. Em, I think your birthday is what, the 25th? And Dominic, you're the 28th? Well, happy birthday to both of you. Okay, yeah, I know, it's tough having a birthday, but, you know, make it work. Okay, all right, let's go to prayer, and let's commit our time to the Lord together. Father, we just bless your name for all the opportunities we have to be together as a family, and for those, Lord, that are watching on YouTube or hearing us through Proclaim, that, Father, they would sense your presence wherever they are this day. We just thank you for our church family. Thank you for all our friends and family members. And Lord, this is still not an easy time that we're going through. And so we ask you to give us very clear direction in our thoughts, especially. Because Lord, we do fight the battleground in our minds. And so Lord, may your peace be upon us all this day. May your the presence of the living Lord be real in our hearts and minds, and may we sense your presence as we worship you and as we bless you in this time together. And we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Team, would you come up, please?
It's great to be in the house of the Lord, and I thought we're going to do Days of Elijah today. So let's stand and do Days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, and famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like a sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world, and we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. No God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah now. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun, and the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like a sun, at the trumpet calls. So lift your voice, it's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Next one is a little slower. It's, Lord, I need you. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one. Where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Christ in me. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who would not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten. Throughout heaven's eternal days, on the mount of crucifixion, open deep and wide, through the flood gates of God's mercy, flowed a vast, a gracious tide. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, pour incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kiss the guilty world in love. Grace and love, like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed the guilty world in love. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, team. That was beautiful. Did you just feel the presence of the Lord? Just close your eyes. You just, I don't know, but these weeks are so chaotic. It's nice to just sense the Lord's presence and just take a minute and go, you're still on the throne. You're still on the throne. Have you said that a lot of times? Lord, I'm glad you're still on the throne. I'm not sure else who's trying to jive for attention, but you're still on the throne, so. All right, let's take some notes of praise this morning. What has the Lord been doing for you? I don't know if you heard, Suzanne had an update on the brain scan, the body scan, excuse me, and it's clear. Is that right, Richard? Everything's good, and she's now on some steroids for the inflammation. MRI coming in December. So that's what we know at this point. Praise the Lord is right. So had a lovely talk with her the other day. So give her a call. She'd love to have an update with you. And, of course, we're going to pray for Samaritan's Purse boxes. But what other notes of praise do we have this morning? Phil? Oh, Phil, you got to come up to the mic for this one. Oh, yeah, this is amazing. Come on. Come on up. Yeah, this is amazing.
Last week, I asked everybody to pray for a young lady who, at the food bank, said that she was going in for surgery this past Monday, and they were unsure of whether she was going to come out of it with her leg intact or not. They felt that she probably was not going to have her leg. So she got up Monday morning. She went off to the hospital. She was in pre-op. The doctor came in and flipped the sheet back and put three big X's down her leg so they knew that they'd get the right leg. And he said to her, okay, we're going to send you down for a scan and for an MRI, and so we can be sure that we're getting everything and we know what we're dealing with today. So off she went. She came back. The surgeon came back, as only surgeons can, with his iPad, and this isn't good. I don't like this. And he says to her, he says, so you've been for your scan? Yeah. And what leg did they scan? She said the left one. Picked out his phone, phoned up and had a conversation. Are you sure you did the right leg? Are you positive? Yeah, well, I'm seeing the same thing. We're coming back down. We're going to redo these tests. So he walked her down, had the tests again. She was sent back to the OR pre-op area. He stayed behind to get the results. So she's back there. The nurses are all running around. Doctor hasn't signed the order yet. She hasn't had her first shot to help put her under. They're worried because they're starting to fall behind. They've got to get her into the OR. She's scheduled for 10 o'clock. It's a few minutes before 10. What's going on? Doctor comes back in. The nurses immediately go to him, and he says, don't worry. We're fine. Don't worry. Comes up to the young lady, and he says, we're not going to be operating today. We're not going to be operating at all.
Amen.
We can find nothing in your leg. The vein that had burst in her leg was working perfectly. No leakage, no nothing. So when I arrived at the food bank this Thursday night, I was there doing my little bit of paperwork, and one of the girls walked in and said, somebody wants you in the parking lot, Pastor. How'd I go? And that's the story I heard. I just bounced about that high off the ground.
That's
for the
fantastic.
Rest of that night.
Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous?
It's unbelievable, but it happened.
Yeah. You know what? We need to start more believing. I think signs and wonders. I don't know about the rest of you, but the way things are going, I think we need to see the power of the Lord more than ever. It's about time he takes authority. And as far as I'm concerned, he trumps everybody. And I don't care whether you're biding your time or not. He's in charge. How's that for a Canadian perspective? Okay, what other notes? Thanks, Phil. Yeah, we're going to, those are for prayer. What other praise notes do we have? Wow.
And she was 3 floors above that particular apartment. They said there's a lot of smoke, but it came out safe and sound. Even
I
think an 87-year-old woman that was on that fifth floor. So
that's a miracle too. That's an absolute miracle too. So did you tell her it was time for her to move to a Sega Beach?
She started looking in Hamilton.
She started looking in Hamilton already, yeah. What kind of incentive do I need to move? Let me think. Yeah. Thanks, Gail, for that note of praise. Other notes of praise. Sheila?
I just
Roy is better?
Yeah.
You know, I thought being married to Sheila, you would have been better all the time, Roy, so I'm glad you're getting better. No, seriously, we're glad you're back to health and strength. Absolutely. All right, other notes of praise? Okay, prayer requests. Jim. Yes, I want to pray for Grace. Two nosebleeds this morning. Yes, we will pray for her. We will pray. And many of you know Paul Bingo, Paul and Dorothy. Paul's often here in the summer because they have a cottage up here. So Paul is going for open heart surgery. So I had a long chat with Paul on Friday. He's in the Brampton Civic Hospital, and then he's going to be transferred over to Trillium and have a surgery on Wednesday. But he's had, over the course of his career, 13 different stents put in his heart. And so it's now open. I have to remove some of the stents as well. And so, but he was in great spirits. You know, he knew the Lord was looking after him. But they've had a lot of issues with the hospital because, of course, under COVID, a lot of people are being dropped and things are being delayed. And so Dorothy has just been beside herself with the various things. And, of course, she's only allowed to see him twice a week. And so that's hard when you're a long period of time in a hospital and your family can't come to see you. So we're going to pray. And I told Paul, I said, we're going to be praying the Lord really everything goes smoothly. And then this is a completion for you. You move on with life. So we'll pray for him. Other prayer needs. I think a couple of you also wanted to tell me something else. What else? Yes, Donna.
Pray for my cousin Pat and her family. Her husband Roy passed away.
Roy passed away. Okay, and Bruce, you wanted us to pray for your family. You've got a brother. Yeah. Doug.
But one consolation, the pastor was able to go in.
Oh, good.
With him, and he said he was ready to go. So praise God for that.
Yeah. And confirmed, yeah. Confirmed his faith stance. Good. Super. Kathy? Yeah. So your uncle's in the nursing home. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people are really worried, like when they're going to see their family members next and how that's all going to work. I think we really need to pray for. And if the Lord gives you somebody in your brain to think about, you need to call them. I'm dead serious. You need to really give them a call. We should pray. We've had the shutdown in Collingwood in the nursing home there, one of the nursing homes. I think we should pray for those folks as well. I would like to pray for a gal who runs the front desk in the hotel that we were in Ajax. When I checked in, she told us that she broke a rib the day before wrestling with her 8-year-old. And was in a lot of pain. And so I said to her, what is your faith position? She goes, my who, what? Turns out she's Hindu. But I said to her, I'm a great God of creation. And I said, I'm going to be praying for you that God reaches down. Now, the next time I get a chance to talk about that, I'm going to say the next great God of creation, whose name is Jesus Christ. I've realized I'm going to say that from now on. But she was so grateful. And I might not ever hear what happens to her. But I think if you would join with me and Jane in praying for this gal, I think that I believe God wants to show himself strong in a lot of people's lives. Amen? Okay, other things for prayer? Okay, I'm going to ask you to stand as we take these notes of praise and prayer to the Lord. Father, we want to again acknowledge that you are in charge of all aspects of our lives. And even as we start with the notes of praise today, Father, we want to thank you for another day of life. Another day of health and strength, another day in which we can go about our activities and we choose even today to be in your presence and to worship you. And so, Lord, we ask your blessing on each and every person in this room, each and every person who's watching or listening. And, Father, that you're going to watch over not only us, but you're looking after all our family members, wherever they are. And you're going to be especially close to them. We think of Bruce and Donna with the family members and their moments of just their last days on earth and or the families that have family members that have passed into eternity, that there'll be great comfort there for them. We just thank you for what you've done for Suzanne, and your peace would continue to be upon her and your healing presence within her. And Father, we lift up these Samaritan Purse boxes that have come in, and Lord, these are going to be going all over the world, and young people are going to receive these boxes along with the Christian literature. And the thought that for many of these children, this is the first gift they will ever receive. And then our prayer is that they will find Jesus Christ too, and that it will be a mighty harvest again at this season. So bless all the Samaritans team. Bless all those that coordinate here in Ontario. Bless those in Canada. Bless the pilots and everybody who are flying the flights to carry these. And bless all the coordinators in all these different countries that will be delivering these boxes in multiple times and multiple places over these next months. And so, Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of those in this congregation. And so we lift up these boxes and thank you for Carl's work in coordinating that for us again this year. Father, we just thank you for protecting Jenna, Gail's daughter, with this explosion. And Lord, we know that your presence is working in powerful ways. And so we just trust that that you are directing Jenna's life in such a very complete and a way that's far beyond what we could even ask or think. And Father, thank you for touching Roy. Thank you that he's feeling so much better. And Father, we do pray for Paul as he's awaiting surgery on Wednesday. We pray, Lord, that you'll just touch his heart in every way that it needs to be touched. And Father, we have to admit, we take our hearts for granted. We take so much of our lives for granted. And so right now, we just lift him up and Dorothy as well in the midst of all that they're going through. And Father, we do pray for Grace with these nosebleeds she's had today. May they stop and may she feel great peace in the midst of all of this. And Kathy's uncle, who's now gone into the nursing home, may he too know that you are with him in whatever way he cognitively understands. Thank you for this pastor that was able to get in and see Bruce's brother Doug. And Father, we know that we're going to meet a great crowd of witnesses when we step into heaven, people that have gone before us. And so, Lord, we thank you. And finally, we want to pray for this Hindu gal, this lady in this hotel that Jane and I met. Father, my prayer is that she will find Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that she could have in her entire life. And so, however you work that out, we just commit her to you. And for all the unspoken requests of this day, we do thank you that you're a God who works and who knows what is going on, and we can trust you, because if you know, it doesn't matter whether or not we know, because you're in charge. And we thank you in your powerful name. Amen and amen. We'll let you be seated, and the team are going to come up and sing a special song for you now.
Well, every second Saturday, Susan and me are going to Angus shopping together. And since it's a little drive, we'll listen to Christian music. And last time we were listening to all the songs, there was a song on my playlist that I haven't sung for a long time. And you all know it. It's Change My Heart, O God. And all of a sudden, I got this very bad conviction that I very easily to blame God for things that are not going right. Very easy to blame God for things that I don't like, that he gave me, and I don't like them. And I really felt that I have to change my heart, like I want him to change my heart. I can't do it, yeah. And with hearing all these miracles today, I needed to hear them. I need to hear that there's always hope, right? So what I want to do, I want you to close your eyes. All close your eyes. Close your eyes. And try not to think anything, but listen to the words. And make it your prayer too. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you.
Bless the Lord.
Formed it into another pot, shaping it as he seemed best to him to do. Then the word of the Lord came and said, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
I want to talk to you today about juggling balls. Just keep it with that. We're juggling balls, and the question is that I have for you today, how many balls, thank you, dear, don't want to take you out, how many balls are you juggling? Is there anybody here as a juggler, by the way? Anybody? Yeah. Kathy, how many can you juggle? Two balls? And I find if you're married, you're juggling at least one. But think about it. One of the things that's really hard about what we're going through today is we are juggling so many balls all the time. I want you to think about what balls you're juggling. So there could be balls related to your house, could be related to your car, could be related to getting to the stores, it could be related to something to do with family, could be having to do with your health issues. It could be a multitude of things. It could be, you know, something to do with the past, the present, the future. And you know, you got the balls in the air, don't you? Where are you looking? I mean, if you're a really good juggler, you can do them and look at everybody else. But most of us can't. I mean, the reality is, think about it. I just want you to think, how many balls are you juggling in the air right now? Most of us would say probably around 9 or 10. Just think about it for a minute. So when you wake up in the morning and you start thinking, things I have to do, phone calls I have to make, things I have to fix. And I don't know about you, but a lot of the balls we've been juggling for a long time. You know, when we were younger, I mean, if you didn't like a teacher in school, how long did you have to put up with them? Till June. And then what could you do with them? Right? You had another teacher next year. My wife has a tendency when we're driving to throw. She'll have a water ball. When she's done, she throws it in the back. Just misses my head. So I think I'm getting even today. I'll just get. But the reality is that most of the balls we're juggling as adults or even as young people, they never change. Okay? Now, they can change in terms of what's going on. So we may be doing something with our teeth, and all of a sudden we need root canal. Oh, my goodness. What happens? Now how many balls do we start juggling? If we're juggling 9 or 10, how many are we up to? 15? 20? At what point is the breaking point? A lot of people come and talk to me, and it's like, one more ball went up in the air and they were done. And what's interesting now is that statistically that Canadians are at such a high stress level that literally people now are starting to get PTSD from being in a minor car accident. Think about that. When I first started my career in counseling, the only people I ever saw with PTSD were soldiers coming off of the battlefield. But what's happening now is life is such a battlefield that even little things are what? Putting people over the edge. And so I wanted to talk to you about this today because I think it's really important. The reality is sometimes we go, why am I so tired? How many of you find you're tired? Is it just me? Or are you all feeling, holy smokes, I just feel tired all the time? Well, I'm wondering if it's because in this crisis time, all of a sudden, we have all new serious issues. How many of you ever in your wildest imagination thought you would ever have to go into a store wearing a mask? How many of you in your wildest imagination ever thought Swiss Chalet would be closed? How many of you in your wild imagination ever thought you wouldn't be able to have your family for Thanksgiving? Or now even questionable for Christmas? I mean, I never once thought I wouldn't be able to visit our daughter Beth in Halifax. Guess what? So far it ain't happening. And so what happens now is you've got all these additional balls that you're juggling because of the stress that you're going through. And what I find is sometimes the balls are so linked, you're throwing three up at the same time. Aren't you? And so what happens is now it's not just one ball in a single situation, but now I'm dealing with, well, let's take one of the ladies in our church. So my mother needs to go into the nursing home. My dad is going blind. I'm trying to sell things in the house, and we need to downsize so that we can get him, and then he's going to get in the nursing home. So how many does she have in her hand at the same time? What is one ball is now three or four in one. And so we've got this cluster of balls, and so what happens is that everybody is juggling different balls. Steve's got a new job. He's trying to juggle balls down where he's working in Hamilton, plus a new location, plus living wherever, plus now he's dealing with different issues in his own body because he's working back and there's pain for him. You know, for the rest of us, you know, we may be in the same location, but now it's new stresses. I discovered that on our street, mice like our homes. Mice love our street. We have the farm fields next door, and the beauty is that we are all warm conduits for them. So I, for the first time in my life, saw a Mr. Exterminator man standing in the kitchen of my house. Nice fella. Couldn't really tell who he was. He was masked. But now he's putting traps underneath the stove and underneath the kitchen sink, and I'm going, how do these critters get in a... He says, oh, yeah, they just climb up the walls. I was ready to climb up the wall. I go, holy crow. What are you? No, it's not a crow, John. It's a mouse. But he says, we got it taken care of. So we started in the basement, and we were good. We went to the main floor. We were okay. We shut down. They were climbing in through a piece in the outside piping from the natural gas line. So and then so now they've gone up to the roof. But we'll get them. So they climbed up in the roof and, you know, aren't we having a happy time? This is so much fun. I can't wake up tomorrow to see what new events we're going to. Maybe we got squirrels. I don't know. Oh, sorry, dear. I'm not. Yeah, well, I opened the front door the other day, there was a mouse lying right on the front step. Oh, a present from heaven. And so we're dealing with these kinds. So how do we deal with it when we're feeling so overwhelmed? And in a lot of ways, we feel we can't even talk to everybody else because we know everybody else is overwhelmed. So, Well, let's start with a couple of scriptures. Let's start, first of all, with Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. And these are the words that Jesus gave very early in his ministry. And I think, again, let me remind you, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden and juggling balls, and I will what? I will give you rest. Now, does the juggling things away? Well, let's see what he says. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the primary concern that God starts with is where? Our soul, our spirit. And then, of course, our mind and our body are also part of it. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So come unto me, all that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Is there any other religious world leader who offers that promise? No. In fact, I remember the story of a lady in Japan. She went to her shrine and she was lighting candles. And when she was lighting the candles, there were little packets of material that she could open up and read a little saying. And she opened this up and she said, "You are on your own. Carry on." That actually drove her to look for something more, and she became a Christian within 6 months. She realized she could not cope and continue to cope looking just after herself. She knew she needed something more. Jesus offers that to you and I. And then we have in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, these words. Excuse me. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," so that's those who've gone on before us, "and all of us that are in the walk together, let us lay aside every weight." Would you say juggling balls are a weight? Oh, well, they don't seem heavy. But how many of you remember the first time you held a baby that was about 6 pounds? After about half an hour, how heavy was the baby? Oh, about 30 pounds. How many of you, you know, when you would try to hold a camera or a camcorder, you remember when they finally came out with the mini, when the camcorders first came out, they were like hunking bazookas. The time you put it on your chest, you need about 2 people to hold it. Okay, now we're going to film the family. Now, when my father started with 8mm, you had the lights on a tripod thing that you had to hold, big 4 blinking lights, and somebody had to hold these, and then he'd film you. Well, of course, everybody that was being filmed was going, "You can't see it." Of course, and the lights are burning up your hands, so you're trying to, hurry, Dad, turn it off. I mean, so we've come a long way from the bazooka camcorders, and then we got down to the handheld. I remember getting a handheld and thinking, "Oh, this is perfect." Well, guess what that felt like after 10 minutes? Yeah, it might as well have been 30 pounds. I mean, it was like, oh. Again, it's not so much the initial weight, it's the fact that we're carrying everything. We've not given over to the Lord, that we're still carrying that kind of thing. And so what we see in Hebrews 12 is, let's lay aside what? Every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. And the reality is that he is asking us to do what? Look to Jesus, who's the author, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God on the throne of God. So let me ask you this. You and I are all juggling balls. Now, when the Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden," or we look away to Jesus, does that mean that we won't have any more balls anymore to juggle? No. Life is still hard. We're still having to juggle. A few things we get to throw away, but most we never do. We carry them for as long. I mean, how long have you had your mortgage? On a regular basis. Let's talk about your teeth. How are your teeth doing? And by the way, how's the hearing aids working for you? Pardon. Thank you, Carl. What about your eyes? You know, I remember when I was in my early 40s, I went to my doctor, Dr. Singh. I said, "Dr. Singh, I can't understand why all these people keep coming to see us so much. I barely knew his name." Now I've got a reserve seat. John, how are you? Have I got a story for you? I'm juggling the balls. We have a choice of where to look. A Christ follower and a non-Christ follower. A non-Christ follower, where is he always looking? Oh, it's coming up. It's coming down. Oh, here we go again. Now, Christians can still do the same. But if we're looking away to Jesus, then where's our focus? Is it on what we're juggling? Or is it the fact that we're looking at the one who's bigger than anything we're going through? Now, he's not saying ignore them. Because, you know what? My mortgage payment is going to come out next week. I can praise God here all I want and get holy and just bless the Lord. But you know what? On Tuesday, the mortgage payment's coming out. So the balls are still in the air. But are we missing the peace of the Lord because we're losing sight of focus? We're not staying focused on who God is in Jesus Christ. And so I want to propose something. I want to propose that you look first of all at what you're juggling. And I want you to do some critical self-evaluation this week. What balls do I have in the air? And some are going to be short-term balls, okay? You're going to have things in the air because you've got to do certain things. Like Carl, he's got to go on Monday, and he's got to take all the boxes to the Samaritan's Purse over to the other church, and then it goes down. I mean, he's going to juggle that ball of being organized for tomorrow, getting all the boxes over with his team, and getting them down to another church. That's short-term. But what he's trying to deal with it, with all the health issues that he and his wife are going through, they don't stop, do they? But who's in charge of Carl's body and who's in charge of Judy's body? Mind and spirit. God is. And it's easy to lose sight of that because what happens is the things of life wear us down. Unless we do the flip and we look full in his wonderful face, and what does it say? And the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So, here's the next thing I want you to do. And let's start by looking at Galatians 6, because I think we've got some very practical things here. So, what Paul says to the Galatian church, now this is not specifically related to juggling a ball, so don't come up to me after and say, Pastor, what does that have to do with tennis balls in the air? Not specifically this, but let each one test his own work. So what are you going to do? This week we're going to do critical self-evaluation, and we're going to look at what balls we have in the air. Test your own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. So what you can do is you can say, you know what, I had these horrific issues this week, and boy, did God ever help me. All right? That's your boast. And then let's move on. In verse 5 we have, for each have to bear his own load. So in a way, you know, Steve, you can't carry my balls that I'm juggling in the air, and I can't carry what Steve's juggling. He's down there, I'm up here. But I can be praying for him that the Lord will help him and give him discernment and also give him rest. So let each one who's taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And then we get the next two verses, which simply say, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So now we have to look at the choices. Am I throwing balls in the air that are nothing more than sensuality even? Or am I making choices that are going to have a negative effect on my life? Because now I'm getting into other issues. I was talking recently with a young lady who's coming off a substance abuse issue. And she said, I'm really glad to be free of it, but I have a concern I'm going to go back to it. So what had she done? She'd put the ball down, but now she was afraid she was going to pick it back up. So we discussed strategies so that there wouldn't be a vacuum. She had other options to do at the time when she would normally have gone to that substance. The time we finished the discussion, guess what? She had no intention of picking that ball up again. Now, is the ball still on the table? Yeah, so to speak. But she had one less ball that she was throwing up because of her choice. So let's think about this. So we're all looking at our individual ones. Now, I believe that there are balls, and you can kind of see here what I've got in front of me. We may have so many balls in the air, But I'm wondering if there are actual balls that we should be putting down, but we're not. How many of you can figure out what's going to happen at Christmas? How many of you even know? Christmas ball. If we can't do anything about the Christmas ball, what do we do with it? We put it down. Why juggle something that has no basis of fact right now? Where do you think fears start? Oh, what if I don't get to see my family at Christmas? Oh! Put the ball down. Now, you may have other ones that are fear-based, and you say, okay, Lord, I can't control these. I don't know. Okay, are you just going to put them down, or are you going to go and lay them at the foot of the cross? You know what, Lord? I got three or four balls here. I can't deal with them. I just, you know what? You're in charge. So, Lord, you got those. And you know what? I'm going to let you keep those. I'm not going to pick those up. One of those may be a ball of depression. The Lord's brought you through. You go, okay, Lord, you got my depression. You've got the things here over which I have no control. I give you those things. And so some we keep juggling. Others we put down on the table and we go, you know what? I'll pick up the Christmas ball when I need to pick up the Christmas ball. Can't do anything now about it. And then there are other things, you know what? Lord, you got those things. I'm not going back there. And you know what's fascinating is looking away to Jesus can be even looking away from the actual issue. Because the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Okay, so let's look at this another way. What if you're in situations where people are coming at you? What if you're in situations where things are manipulating behind the scenes? What about it, you know, people have intent for things that, well, I don't know about you, but when I've got those kinds of balls in the air, you know what I want to do with them? I'll let you have it. The Lord goes, well, John, how's that working for you? Really good, Lord. I'm really loving this. So, John, let's talk about your blood pressure. I don't have an issue, Lord, with my blood pressure. Why are you now in the ambulance, John, going up to the hospital? I don't have a flipping reason why I don't. God's going, really? I remember as a family, we were singing at a church in Edmonton one time, and a lady came up at the end of the service who was a nurse. And we were all around, and my dad said to her, how are you doing? She goes, well, I'm not doing very well, but I'm really trying to serve the Lord well. And my dad says, so who's wronged you? Who's wronged you? She goes, there's a lot of people who've wronged me, but I've forgiven them all. My dad goes, really? She had a major cancer issue. Do you know we went back to that same church the next year? That woman ran down the aisle of the church before the service, gave my dad a big bear hug and said, guess what? I don't have any cancer. Could there be a connection with the unforgiveness? Possibly. And so we need to look at this very carefully. What are we juggling? Why are we juggling? And don't take the balls back that you've given to the Lord. And don't take the balls back that they're not time to be taken back. I remember when Andrew was in Teachers College in Peterborough, or in Kingston. So he phoned me up one day and he goes, Dad, he says, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to get a job? I said, what do you mean? He says, like after I graduate, like where am I going to go? Like, who's gonna hire me? Where, you know? I said, son, what are you doing this year? He says, well, I'm at school. I said, you're getting your Bachelor of Education. Yeah. I said, you ever going to have this year again? No. So what do you think you should do? Well, I think I should really enjoy my year, Dad. I said, I think you should. Do you know in the spring of that year, we went over, they had like an open house and they had a concert and a play and everything. There's my son, our son. In this play, his pants rolled up to his knees, playing a guitar, and all these people are jumping and happy and running around, and I burst out laughing. I thought, son, if you had worried about where you were going to work, you'd have missed all this fun. And do you know, 3 months later, he had a job. Because he was trying to juggle a ball, and there wasn't time to juggle. That wasn't the time. It was time to do something else, and he did it. So let's go back again to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us what? What should we do? Lay aside every weight. And notice it doesn't say weight that is sin, weight and sin. And do what? Run the race, looking away to Jesus, who's the author and finisher and the perfecter of our faith. So here's what I want to leave with you. Here's what we're going to do. You're thinking about the balls that you're juggling in your air. That's what I've asked you to do. I want you to think for just a moment as we conclude about the situation in Matthew chapter 14 where Jesus fed the 5,000. You remember that? The 5,000 men and the women and the children. Afterwards, he told the disciples, you get in a boat and go across the Sea of Galilee because he was going to dismiss the crowds. So between 3 and 6 o'clock, you remember what happened? Huge storm. And they're trying to row against this storm, and they're getting nowhere. And what does Jesus do? Do you remember? Walks on the water toward them. Of course, they scream because somebody's walking on the water, and he tells them, look, don't be afraid, it's me. To which Peter says, Lord, call me out of the boat, and I'll walk to you. So Jesus says, come on over. And Peter does what? He gets out of the boat, and he starts to walk. Now, where were his eyes? On the Lord. And then what happened? Oh, my goodness. I'm on the water. Hokey smokes. Now, I don't think that was the Jewish vernacular of the day. But what did he do? He started to sink. And Jesus reaches out and he grabs him by the arm. So how close was he to Jesus? This close? Enough for him to reach him. And in that he said, why do you doubt? Where's your faith? You know what, family? Jesus is walking right beside us. He's walking right up to us. He lives within us. He's our rear guard. He walks in front of us. He walks everywhere that we are walking because he's with us and he's interceding at the same time in heaven for us. So the question is, why do we panic? Why are we focused on juggling the balls? Why aren't we just saying, Lord, you're running the show. I realize there's things I have to do. I have to make my supper. I have to vacuum the carpets. But other than that, I'm going to trust you to carry me through this week. So, here's what I want to leave with you. Are we exhausted? Here's the questions. You ready? Are we exhausted juggling the balls in our life because we don't need to? Has the Lord ever said to you, what are you doing? And you've said to him, well, I don't know, but why are you worrying about that? Well, I don't know. Did the Lord ask you to deal with that? Probably not. Are we exhausted because Jesus didn't ask us then to juggle certain balls? Are we exhausted because Jesus is letting us have a pity party? Oh, these balls I have in the air. Like, it's so crappy. What a crappy life I have. You ever pull that one? Or do you have the comparison? Oh, you got 9 balls you're juggling? Well, I got 41. Well, good for you. Aren't you special? But sometimes we do it, look at my life, oh, it's so terrible, because we want a pity party. And then are we juggling the balls and we're exhausted because we literally don't want to give them up? You know what, now what are we? We're just plain stubborn. I'm not giving this flipping ball up if it's the last thing I do. This is just, I can't stand this ball, but I am just going to juggle this ball because I'm just looking like a really good Christian right now. Look at me go. God's going, really? And people around us are going, really? And then we're doing this. I'm having a happy time. Praise the Lord. I just love serving Him. Oh, yeah? Then why have you got lockjaw? Rest in me. Result? Are we more determined to let the Lord direct us and be focused on what He wants? Or would we rather focus on the balls and then obviously get to a point where we're going to complain? Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says this as I conclude. You'll see it on the screen. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You know what? As soon as we get back on a focus, what do you think that's going to do for our life? We're going to be focused on one another. We're going to be praying for one another. We're going to be excited for one another, like this lady who had the healing of her leg. We're going to be thrilled. And you know what? Okay. We'll still be juggling balls. But who's in charge? The Lord is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the fact that so often in our life, you understand exactly what we're going through. I mean, you understand exhaustion. I mean, after you dealt with crowds, you had to go up to a mountain to pray and have time away. You needed time with just your disciples. And even when they had time with you, they at times didn't get it. So I know, Lord, you're cutting us some slack. We don't see you. But we know you're with us. And my prayer today is that as we head into this new week, that you'll help us in our critical self-evaluation. There's maybe things that we're juggling that we need to put down and go, you know what? I'm not dealing with that right now. I'll deal with it later. There are others, things that we're juggling, we may need to say, you know what, Lord, you've got these things. I put them down at the foot of the cross. I'm giving you my son and daughter once and for all. I'm going to trust they're going to come to Christ. I'm going to trust that you're going to resolve the situation in our family. I'm going to trust that you're going to resolve the situation that we have that we're trying to deal with in our community or in our church or in our country. Lord, I put all these things at the foot of the cross. And Lord, I also am prepared to say, I'm going to look to you. I know there are things that I have to juggle. That's part of life. I live on this earth. I have to work in this earth. I have to meet people and deal with issues. I know my body's frail, but in all of this, Lord, my eyes are on you. And so with all of that, I believe that you'll not only give us rest, but you'll give us a great sense of peace. And so we just thank you for all that you're doing. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close with two choruses that you know very well. And just let that be. Let these be a time for ministry for you. So let's stand. There is a Redeemer. And just take time to look away to Jesus this morning as we conclude. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. And when I stand in glory, I shall see his face. And there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till your work on earth is done. Don, I think we'll just close as we pray. You just play As the Deer quietly and give people a chance to just think about this as we conclude. Jesus, we're going to do our level best to look away to you this week. We don't know what this week's going to bring, but we know since you've already gone into the week ahead of us, we can trust you. So we commit ourselves now to loving you, following you, to serving others, and most of all, to enjoy the peace that you bring because you bring rest to our lives. Thank you for loving us so very, very much. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.